The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. From Bar Canada at the D, it's Gil Alexander and Kelly Midland on a numbers game. Still to come this hour, Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. Talking about all his bets this weekend, gambling porn. Plus, the great Dr. Bob on what he's playing this week. Pro, college, we don't know what he's going to tell us. We don't have any idea. We'll find out, though, momentarily. Usually we do one segment with the Bear, Chris Felica from Fox Sports and the Bear Bets podcast, but he is feisty this morning, so we're going to do more than one with him. Chris Felica joins us now. How you doing, sir?
I'm well. How are you? I'm not necessarily feisty.
Oh, okay. I thought you're
excited.
Feisty.
I wouldn't say I'm feisty. I think you're the feisty one.
I'm not feisty. You're feisty. That's a good put down right there. What hotel? You're obviously, I would imagine that's a hotel that you're in right now. Is that correct?
Yes. It is a lovely Conrad Hotel in Indianapolis. I'm here for the Michigan Iowa Big Ten Championship game. I have a nice little shrimp cocktail fest at St. Elmo tonight. So, good way to end the pre-bowl season here with my first year with Fox.
Ah, you love St. Elmo. I've heard you talk about it before. So before we get into your thoughts on the game that you guys will be covering and the entire championship week landscape, let us talk about something that you are somewhat passionate about. I think that's a fair analysis, which is you really are in the camp. I don't want to mischaracterize it, but I think you lean to the camp of the four best teams ought to be there, and there should be a scenario where FSU with a win does not get in. Is that correct?
That is correct, and I think there are quite a number of people out there who feel that way. And look, Boo Corrigan has said it all along. He's like, the committee is tasked with putting the best four teams in the playoff. There's nothing it says deserving. Now, we all know in the past they have erred on the side of putting like the teams that have had kind of the best season and deserve to get there. And also in the NE brought it up again in their bylaws, criteria, whatever you want to call them. It specifically indicates player availability is something that it should come into play. And if you use that combination of best and player availability, like, I don't know how anybody could sit there and say that this Florida State team with Rodemaker, a quarterback, is one of the best four teams in the country. People are it's at least right now, people are trying to make the correlation between what Ohio State did in 2013 or 2014 with Cardale Jones. We'll see if Florida State goes out Saturday night with Rodemaker and that team that they have and beats Louisville 59-0 like Ohio State did over Wisconsin. Sure, then they proved it on the field. But I think there was this thing also, even with Jordan Travis, like there were a school of thought that they're really not. I mean, they didn't power rate very highly. I mean, they've won all their games, and credit to them for doing that. I just don't think they're one of the best four teams. Now, do I think the committee will kind of take the humane way out and say, okay, I think there is a subliminal human element of this where they will say, can we really leave a team that's 13-0 and won the ACC out? Probably not. But remember, ACC is the weakest Power 5 league. They're the weakest champ. And really the only, and people talk, the resume of Florida State, the resume of Florida State is what they did last week against Florida and what they do tomorrow against Louisville, because anything that they did with Jordan Travis really shouldn't be accounted for, because that's not the team that they're going to take into the playoff. And I was talking with Chris Andrews about like projected lines, and you're looking at a 15-point spread potentially against Georgia, a 12-point spread potentially against Michigan. And I get back to deserving. Deserving has gotten us Alabama, Michigan State, Alabama, Cincinnati, Oklahoma, LSU, like Notre Dame, Alabama. That's what deserving has gotten us. Awful semifinal game. So here's an opportunity for the committee to kind of use their criteria and say, hey, you know what? If we were truly looking for the best four, maybe Florida State isn't one of them. But I do think, like I said, I do think that they ultimately will put them in.
Yeah. Two things. One, you're an awful human being for having this opinion. Two,
I'm a lawful human being for a lot of
As I've said all week, I totally understand both sides of the argument. I happen to lean, though, to the, because you're right about, look, those of us who bet, we know what the lines are going to be. We know what's happened in these lopsided semis. It ain't good television. It's not great football. But you can't tell kids who have shown up for a college football season with a Power 5 schedule and they've beaten everybody you've placed in front of them. And then, yes, their quarterback does go down, but there is precedent, right, with Cardale Jones. And I said, you know, hypothetically, if this happened to Alabama, would they knock them out? No. And I get what you're saying about power ratings. You just can't tell these kids they can't be in it. You just can't. And as you said, it's not going to happen. They're going to be in if they win.
Yeah, I think ultimately that will be the way it shakes down. Now, Louisville can do the committee in Texas and whomever else a favor. They can get the win on Saturday night. Well, we'll see if they can. That number's come down some more. There's some questions about Tate Rodemaker's availability. And I think if he I think he's still going to play. But the thing with Florida is like the third string kid, Glenn, he broke his finger, I think, earlier in the year. And that's the only reason he's not number two right now. So, and the people that I've been talking to, like even if Rodemaker isn't able to play or he doesn't pass concussion or whatever the situation is, I don't think they view that as a downgrade if the freshman does have to come in and play.
Okay, let's start with the Pac-12 title game tonight here in Vegas, where Oregon is now, I mean, they've gotten a 10 hosting, well, actually not hosting, but playing Washington for the Pac-12 championship. Obviously, UW is undefeated. They almost, you know, the disrespect being, they're an undefeated team that's in the situation where they have to win or they're out. 9.5 is the consensus number. Do you feel that this number is correct? Do you think Penix is hurt? And do you think Oregon will get to a place in this game where they play it, as Bud Elliott said yesterday on the show from 24/7 Sports, in a way that will try to hoist Nix to the Heisman?
Yes, I do. I totally agree with Bud on that. And I think the number is right just based on the trajectory of those teams since the Washington win in Seattle over Oregon. Earlier, I think you and I and a bunch of people have talked about it. Like we felt coming out of that game that if they played again, I would happily lay a touchdown with Oregon in that game. And the rumor about Penix's ribs being injured, other things, he clearly has not looked right. That they've been begging to get beat the last couple of weeks, and I do think there'll be an Oregon situation here where they do try and put up big numbers for Bo Nix. I know Jeff Schwartz. I was talking about on the podcast yesterday that he thinks Bo Nix being in the running game is going to be a big part of the offense in this game, something that they really haven't shown much of this year. But with Nix and Bucky Irving and Tez Johnson, I think their offense is going to put up a bunch of points. And I just don't know if UW, with the way Penix has been playing, if they're going to be able to come back. It's obvious to everybody something's going on. I mean, they got like guys standing next to him, making sure people don't bump into him. So clearly something up, and it's a shame that they have an injury as well at the position for their biggest game of the year. They've had a great year, but I do like, if I did have to, I don't want to have to lay 9.5 here. I got enough liability and futures on Oregon right now where I don't need to play this game. I mean, I actually took Washington like 10 days ago in the look ahead at +7 because I didn't think the number would get higher than that. And clearly I was wrong with my forecast of the line. So I'm in a good position here with this game, but I'm not going to play it. If I didn't have a position, I probably would lay the 9.5.
Anything in the other game tonight, Conference USA Championship, Liberty and New Mexico State, anything in that game?
Liberty's covered these numbers all year. I've faded Liberty a couple of times and I've been on the wrong side of that. I guess I would still lean towards maybe taking New Mexico State. This is a team that went to Jordan-Hare a couple weeks ago and dominated Auburn. Why can't they go to Liberty and hang around and be close? I haven't played it, but if you're just looking for a late night fix to watch a game with a little action, I'd take Jerry Kill and the boys there plus the 11. That's a lot of points.
All right, what's your single favorite play tomorrow?
I do like UNLV plus the points in that game. I think the Rebels all year long have been the best team in that league. And I think there's kind of a, like a bad mouthing going on right now that San Jose State beat them last week. San Jose State should be in the game. UNLV shouldn't. This isn't a great Boise team. Obviously, they've responded since Eddie Avalos was fired, and they've been much better since then. But I think over the course of the year, UNLV has been better. I think the defense with Barry Odom, I think they'll do a good enough job against that Boise State running game. And I think they're going to win that game. It's been a very special season for Odom and that bunch. And I think as a college football fan, I think it'd be a great story, and I hope they do win. But I do like them tomorrow in that Mountain West game.
The game that you're covering, the Michigan-Iowa Big Ten Championship, this is so interesting. There's so many ways to parse this in terms of, you know, what could be Iowa's ineptitude in this game. Is there a specific way you're betting this game, even if not the side or total?
I bet the total.
You did.
I grabbed it under 35 and a half. And I just don't think it's going to be very plausible to see Iowa score more than 7 points at most. And maybe they get a turnover. Maybe they get a big return. Maybe they PI their way down the field somehow with the worst passing offense in the country. But I also don't know, on the other hand, like how much maybe we see a Michigan game plan, kind of like what they did against Penn State, running the ball basically every play in the second half, or that drive last week against Ohio State where they relied on the running game. Like, I could see this being like a 27-7 type of game, maybe 30-30, that's something like that. I did actually bet Michigan at the open at 21.5, assuming it was going to go up. It hasn't gone up a ton. So I do have a Michigan 21.5 that I still do feel good about, but I think this is a dead under game.
Chris Velika, kind enough to join us for a second segment, the Bear Bets Pod, pro and college football versions out now. College on Thursday, pros on Fridays. We'll get more thoughts from him on these other championship week games and the scenario that would be the hardest for the committee to sift through. What does he think that would be, and how would he vote on it? That's next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The holidays are here. Let Omaha Steaks take the guesswork out of gifting. Go to omahasteaks.com and save 50% off site-wide. Omaha! Omaha! Plus, when you use promo code VSiN at checkout, get an additional $30 off your order. That's $30. Send tender, juicy butchers, cut filet mignons, mouth-watering burgers, gourmet jumbo franks, or even easy-to-prepare meals that are ready in a flash. Omaha Steaks is a gift from the heart, a gift that'll be remembered with every unforgettable bite. Order with complete confidence today, knowing you're ordering the very best. Visit omahasteaks.com. Take advantage of 50% off site-wide. Plus, use promo code VSiN at checkout to get that extra $30 off your order. Minimum order may be required. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. So many of these. I'll rifle through some. Silent majority. The silent majority. Gil, would you factor in the Cowboys played 3 games in 11 days, and last night was a look-ahead spot towards the Eagles next week, and could this spark up a bet on the Cowboys off extra rest against the Eagles, or maybe a Cowboys division future? All your points are good. Me personally, no. But all those are valid points.
I was definitely, considering I had that teaser with them last night, I was expecting them to play a little better than they did. And was probably planning on jumping on a look-ahead line for the Eagles game next week. But that is something I am not going to do now after that game was as tight as it was.
Titans Insider, I'm going back on Steelers, or going back and forth on Steelers or Bucks for Survivor on Sunday. Kev McD. Hey, Gil, did you see they announced the reliever of the year this week? Nice to cash a Bautista ticket the same week a Texans season wins total cashes. Baseball still giving out awards, man. Mike Rouse, I feel your pain on last night with the under in the Seattle game. I had under 137.5 in Texas Tech Butler. 103-95 was the final. Jordan Pagel wants, I'll ask Jason a question from him. AK, what an awesome surprise to have the OG Ace on the pod this week. Yeah, looking forward to the lifestyle episode. Yeah, Ace joining us on the Megapod this week. J&J Watering Hole just came by to say hello to us. He said, great meeting you guys. Keep up the great work. Love listening every day. Thank you, JJ. Great, J&J. Great to meet you. Ryan Lewis, I know the KenPom futures exercise was used more for mid to long shots, but Houston being number one in KenPom while still being available at 18-1 at DraftKings feels like a discrepancy as well. It sure does. Jamie Leva, The entire listening audience waiting for guilt to his Ernie Johnson impression. LOL, love this show.
I just love it.
Chuckster.
I love that Matt had the same, he had the same.
Y'all were just waiting for me.
I was like, where's Gil at? Like, come on, this is your cue. Come
to
on.
To Ernest Johnson from our Atlanta studios. Okay, we'll read. Oh, and this is the last one, and I'll go back to Fleek because there's a whole bunch of these still. Summer Hutchison, where is there a plus 475 for Dak MVP? DraftKings, correct?
Yep.
That was,
yep.
Yeah, DraftKings, sir. Yep. Plus 475, as well as he's playing, seems a little low. Yes?
Yeah.
Let's bring in Chris Velik of the Bear from the Bear Bets Pod, of course, at Fox Sports. That feels a little bit low to you too, Chris, plus 475?
It does. He's been great, obviously, the last 6 weeks or so of the year. And ultimately, it's going to come down to what they do in the division. I don't think he can win if they don't win the division. And the same, yeah. We've talked about this as well with Purdy, with you and Will and I, when we go back and forth on text. Like, I almost think the way you play that game with the Eagles and the Niners on Sunday is just play Purdy to win MVP. Mm-hmm. Like, I think if Purdy wins that, if they win that game tomorrow, his price, or Sunday rather, his price is going to go just drop like a rock.
I agree.
Maybe the Eagles lose to the Cowboys, and then you're kind of looking at maybe two teams that are going to have the same record, and the Niners ultimately won it with that one seed. And I think, like Drew has talked about, with the quarterback or the one seed maybe getting, like, I think if you're going to play Purdy, you got to do it before Sunday.
That is correct. I agree with that. By the way, you have a Jaden Daniels Heisman ticket. So you're talking through that lens. People should know that, full disclosure. Yep. You really believe, I mean, how confident do you feel about this, or do you really not very? Because you think that, getting back to the Bo Nix thing tonight, if you know, because we've all seen the, Matt Brown was talking about earlier, we've all seen the comparisons. If you run the numbers, there is no comparison, especially like air yards, right? Like, Bo Nix does not throw the ball downfield.
Right.
If he does that in a standalone game tonight,
bubble screen Bo is what
bubble screen Bo. That's right, bubble screen Bo. So I mean, but if we see that, all it takes is one game tonight in a standalone. I know Liberty's playing too, but generally a standalone game. Doesn't that, like, it completely is going to skew this, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was talking about this with Joel Klatt this morning. Like, I am not a voter, so like don't think I'm like sabotaging a vote or anything. Like, I just think if you look at his numbers and don't give him the award, it's like, what are we doing? Like,
what are we doing?
So he's had more total yards than like 80 teams in the country. He's accounted for more touchdowns than like 98 teams in the country. Like, he's having a historic season. If Neighbors catches a ball that went off of his hands in the end zone against Ole Miss, we're not having this conversation, because I think a 10-2 LSU will be viewed differently than a 9-3 LSU. But it gets back to an argument, and this was Joel's point about, he goes, can I really give the award for most outstanding player in college football to someone who this team lost their three biggest games? And that's what the whole definition of outstanding comes down to. Like, is outstanding mean outstanding statistics, outstanding leadership, outstanding team season, combination of the both, which is why I think if Bo Nix goes out tonight and has a great game, or even just a good game, and Oregon wins and they win the Pac-12 and are going to the playoff, he's probably going to win this award. And what I hate about this is, while I'm sitting here like propping up Daniel saying, I think statistically it's not even close, it's not a debate, he should win in a landslide. I don't, it's like you say, people interpret that as, oh, you hate Bo Nix, you don't think he should win, he's terrible. No, that's not it at all. I just think that Daniels has had the better year. You know what the irony in all this is that you got Daniels, who started in the Pac-12 at Arizona State, now in the SEC at LSU, and you got Nix, who started at Auburn in the SEC, was benched, and wound up transferring to Oregon and the Pac-12. And that's what the battle comes down to.
Yeah, I object to, you know, there's two things that are the anti-Daniels crap, which is they lost three games. And oh, by the way, he had so many more possessions and opportunities because his defense sucks. It's like, you can't have all of those things as detractors. Right. Like, it's like, come on, man. He couldn't control the three because his defense is terrible. And yet you're killing him for having more opportunities and taking advantage of him. It's ridiculous. Okay. The scenario that would cause the most havoc, and how would you navigate it?
It's Alabama winning. Because I Alabama winning winning, and all the other favorites winning. Because then you're basically saying, in that scenario, the only team I would think for sure that would be in would be Michigan. Because then you'd have a 12-1 SEC champion Alabama, a 12-1 Georgia, who's been number one all year, two-time defending champion, non-champion. You'd have Oregon, a 12-1 Pac-12 champion. You'd have a 13-0 Florida State without starting quarterback. And you'd have a 12-1 Big 12 champion, Texas. Like, in that scenario, like, there's no way you can take Alabama and not take Texas. There have been two games this year where a top 10 team lost on their home field. One was Alabama losing at home to Texas, and the other one was Michigan going to Penn State and winning. So, like, in that scenario, I think Texas absolutely has to be in, because I think the SEC champion will absolutely be in. I think the committee will 100% want to put the SEC champion in, and they should be. So I think in that scenario, you get Michigan, Alabama, Texas, and then do you take Georgia? Do you knock them all the way out? Like, we talked about, like, this human element before, like, man. 28 game winning streak or whatever, yeah. This two-time reigning national champ. You're going to knock them out, like, the team that you think is the best team. Like, I think in that scenario, the SEC might get two, and that's where you could get the 13-0 Florida State, where you can maybe put them up against Georgia or Alabama and say, okay, these other teams are unequivocally better than Florida State, and that's where they can get around the 13-0 without your starting quarterback. But, like, if you're an Oregon fan, like, you are rooting so hard for Georgia, because you do not want this scenario to even have a thought of coming into play where maybe Texas could jump you because the Alabama-Texas game gets put into a thrust into a greater light.
No doubt about that. All right, of the six games we didn't touch upon, I'm going to cherry pick one. I'll just make it the Louisville-Florida State ACC championship, with Florida State a 2.5-point favorite here, now actually 1.5. Yeah. How do you think this goes? Would you bet this game?
I'm beginning to think more and more that Louisville does win this game. I think you need to, if you take your position, whatever it is on Florida State, should they be in, should they be not, and you look at both of those games last week, Louisville in that game against Kentucky, they outgained them by 125, 130 yards, I think, or whatever it was. They had a kickoff return against them for a touchdown. They turned the ball over twice deep inside their own territory that resulted in points for Kentucky. Like, they had a winning box score outside of the turnovers. You look at Florida State, they had 240 yards, less than 4 yards of play, like 4 of 15 or whatever it was on third down. They really only won the game because Florida just completely combusted with some terrible personal foul penalties and just some awful play. Like, I think if you look at it rationally and the way Jeff Brohm has schemed his teams up, in a position against some of these top five, top 10 teams that they faced, and Plummer doesn't turn the ball over like he did, like, I think it's hard for me to not like Louisville pulling the minor upset here.
Chris, enjoy St. Elmo tonight, man. I know you will.
We will. We'll get those nasal passages cleaned out. Looking forward to Dr. Bob and Jason, see what they got on slate for us here.
My man, Chris Valiga, the Bear. Bear Bets Pod, college and pro football, where all podcasts are available. Thank you, sir. Enjoy the weekend. Chris Valiga, everybody, on the show. Dr. Bob, as he just mentioned, is next. He's got a couple college football plays right here from Bar Canada.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, you Sigma Derby people, keep it down over there. Oh, I'm sorry, we're on air. In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSiN. The crown is yours. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, live here from Bar Canada, the D. Ladies and gentlemen, if you had in the a numbers game pool that the first person to curse on this program after Alan Boston did so rampantly so many years ago, and if you had Dr. Bob, that cashed for you last week at plus a bajillion. We bring in the potty mouth Dr. Bob back to the show once again. How you doing, Bob?
I don't even remember what I said. What was I ranting
about? Let's not rehash it. Let's not go through it again. Yeah. Might come out of you.
Someone got me fired up.
Yeah, you were fired up, all right. I like a fired up Bob, though. Listen, one of these things I wasn't going to ask you about. You're a model guy, so I was just going to ask you specifically about games. But we were talking about this off air. You did get fired up because you've had some Twitter interaction with some folks. There is something specific about the committee and how this could shake out that you feel really strongly about. What is that specifically?
Well, the argument was this one guy wrote an article on the 16 possible combinations of, you know, assuming Michigan wins and the other 16 combinations, what would happen? And one guy responded like, well, what do you mean if Oregon wins, like they'd be above Texas? That's ridiculous. Texas beat, you know, beat Texas Tech by 50 and Oregon barely beat Texas Tech. And I'm like, that's a one score. Like, okay. But then you lost to Oklahoma, who lost to Oklahoma State, who lost to South Alabama by 26. So is South Alabama better than Texas? I mean, you know, it's a transitive property of scores that you can make any team in the country better than any other team in the country pretty much by doing that kind of stuff. And it just drives me nuts. They beat them by 50. Yeah. But and Oregon lost to Washington. Yeah, but they outgained Washington by 120 points. It was on the road. I mean, and I said, well, Oregon would be, look, I'm not an Oregon fan. I went to Berkeley. Like, I don't care. But Oregon would be a 6 or 7 point favorite over Texas. So if Oregon wins, they're better than Texas. The committee knows it. Vegas knows it. Everyone knows it except for Texas fans. They go, yeah, well, we were a 7 point underdog to Alabama. Look what happened there. I'm like, okay, it's one game. I mean, yeah, but you also lost to Oklahoma. Who lost to Oklahoma? I mean, you can't play that game. It's like, yeah, but who's the better team? Like, Texas people just don't get it. Like, well, what if they played a good defensive line? I'm like, well, what happens to Texas when they play an accurate quarterback like Gabriel Dillon, for instance? Well, the most accurate quarterback in history is Bo Nix. I mean, you know, for every argument they make, there's a better argument against Texas being better than Oregon, but they just don't accept it.
Oregon
may not win.
Why I'm so amused by this.
Oregon may not win. Texas might get in, but Oregon is better than Texas.
I love Bob. Bob is a dear friend. I just love when his buttons get pushed and he gets super, super passionate about something like this. So dare I ask, before we get into a couple of your picks, dare I ask how poorly you would have FSU, an undefeated FSU, rated at this point?
Well, that would drive me nuts. Are we taking the best teams or the most deserving teams?
Well, they say best, but it's always deserving.
It's not. It's not the best teams. If it was the best teams, put a bunch of Vegas odds makers in there and let them choose the best four teams.
That's right. You're right. But it's never that. And so
it's never that.
Right.
It's never the best teams. It's the most deserving. A lot of times it is. I mean, three out of four are always the best, you know, best four among the best four. There's always a team in there like TCU. They were probably 9th or 10th in Vegas power ratings last year. Yeah, they deserve it, I guess, but they're not one of the four best teams, and they certainly proved it in the title game, but yeah, they did beat Michigan at least. So
how far? Yeah, they did.
Yeah,
how
so far? Louisville should not be it unless Rodemaker has a great game this week. I mean, he's been dismal. So they are not the same team without Travis. They are not one of the best four teams without their quarterback, and they should not be in, even if they win.
Okay, so I'm sensing you have a Louisville pick here, but just give me a sense of how far lower, like FSU in your rankings is how far lower than who by points? Like how far down do you have them as currently constituted?
Well, even including the stats with Travis, I'd have them 9th. So, man, you know, now they're like 20th best team in the country with Rodemaker, and the way he's played so far, I mean, and they have a great defense and a mediocre offense at best. I mean, I'll get into it later. We can talk about it now.
Let's talk about it now. Louisville and FSU.
So we started off against North Alabama. So he comes in against North Alabama. In fairness, he didn't game plan the whole week. They're probably going to play him anyway, and he probably got some reps. But in North Alabama, he averaged 8.4 yards per pass play. All right. But North Alabama would give up close to 10 yards per pass play on the road to an average FBS quarterback. But I'm like, okay, well, give him the benefit of the doubt because they probably just played a bunch of safe little plays and he didn't have to throw the ball down the field. I'll just assume that he's a better than average FBS quarterback because most backups in the SEC are better than average on a national level. But then he goes into Florida and 108 yards on 28 pass plays. I mean, it's just dismal. And Florida's got a bad defense. I mean, they got a terrible defense and he was dreadfully bad. And not only that, it hurts the running game because they're not afraid of the pass. And they're also not afraid of the quarterback keeping the ball. He ran one time. So, you know, in the RPO game, they're not even focusing on him. They're just focused on the running back. So the running backs relatively struggled against Florida, who doesn't have a good run defense either. So the only reason Florida State won that game is, yeah, they have a great defense, but Florida started a backup quarterback who didn't look like he was ready to play at this level either. I mean, Brown was terrible in that game. So, I mean, now they're playing a veteran quarterback. And, you know, Plummer's, I don't think he's great, but he's had a great season. But and he's seen it all. I mean, the blitz is coming. He knows what to do with the ball when Florida brings the pressure. And he doesn't have to do that much. Plus, they've got two running backs that combine for 6 yards to carry and run for almost 2,000 yards combined. I mean, Louisville's got a really balanced offense, so they should be able to score enough against Florida State. And Louisville's got a better-than-average defense. They're especially good against the run, so Rodemaker's going to have to play at a better-than-average level to have a chance in this game. And I took the 3 points early in the week, and now it's down to 1.5. And I'd still rather have Louisville. I have Louisville by 2. But I'd still rather have Louisville plus the 1.5, and I'm glad I grabbed him at 3.
Kelly went to FSU. You okay after this verbal assault? You all right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of what we've talked about all week, right? Like, I can't, like, I think if it ended today, they deserve to be in, as we've said. I understand why nobody wants to see it, and nobody thinks they're going to do anything. And Rodemaker's been absolutely terrible, yeah.
Hey, Bob, if you had FSU 20th now, where did you have TCU last year?
I think I had them, like, 10th or 12th, somewhere in that range, wow, going into the playoffs.
Wow. All right, so even that's
just
dramatic.
Just to add on, like, yeah, you know, Felica said a little bit last segment, like, I don't really know how healthy either, you know, Glenn or Rodemaker is, too. That's They've true. Got two quarterbacks. I don't even know how healthy either one of them is.
Oh, man. Chaos would be fantastic. But I hear you. You're on Louisville. Okay, and you're also Mountain West Championship. You're also on UNLV.
Yeah, I've been on UNLV a lot this year, and I just don't understand the market hate for UNLV. I mean, they lost last week. San Jose State is red hot. I mean, San Jose State has played so great down the stretch, and they lost to San Jose State. Fine, but they're still 10-2 against the spread this year. And they played the first few games with a quarterback who's terrible. Brumfield was terrible. So in week 4, Jade Maiava comes in. He's phenomenal. I mean, you've probably seen him play. You guys are in Vegas. I mean, you've probably seen enough of this guy. Plus, they have an All-American, potential All-American receiver. So he's been 1.7 yards per pass play better than an average quarterback. That's adjusted for the level of pass defenses that he's faced. 8.6 yards per pass play. And the guy's been fantastic. They don't run the ball particularly well, but what I like about this is in games that are competitive, UNLV throws the ball more, which makes their offense even better. And Boise State is pretty good against the run, but they don't defend the pass well. They face 3 quarterbacks the whole year that are better than average. And Boise's given up 10.3 yards per pass play in those games. Now, in fairness, it's Washington, UCF, and Memphis. Those 3 quarterbacks would combine to average about 9 yards per pass play against an average defense. And they've given up 10.3 yards per pass play against those teams. So they've been even worse relatively against better quarterbacks. So Miami should have a really good game. And Boise State on the flip side, they had 2 quarterbacks most of the year, but Maddox Mattson's out for the season. He was the good passing quarterback. Taylor Green is more of a running quarterback. Mattson completed 61% of his passes, nearly 8 yards of pass play. Green only 55% completions and 6.8 yards of pass play. So they run the ball more with Green. In fact, they've run it 69% of the times in the 2 games since Mattson got injured. But that plays into the hands of UNLV's defense, who's pretty good against the run, but they're not good against the pass. So relatively, UNLV's defense will be better against a team like Boise, who runs the ball a lot, because they're not going to take full advantage of UNLV's weakness. So I just think this is a situation where UNLV's been underrated all year. They're at home getting points. They're the better team on a neutral field. And I gladly took the 3 points earlier in the week, and I would still take the 2.5 now.
Bob and Felica both on UNLV. My favorite Bob version is Salty Bob. Thank you, Bob. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Dr. Bob at Dr. Bob Sports, Twitter, and drbobsports.com. Jason Weingarten, Under Cloud of Smoke next.
A numbers game. Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page, sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. And you can check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. What are you waiting for? Sign up now for only $9.99. That's $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book Tronsky. Matt Brown stuck up for Jaden Daniels, sort of, as an LSU alum. But when he mentioned the three losses, he failed to mention the egregious call or non-call in the Bama game that was targeting and wasn't even reviewed. Small detail he's omitted. Jason Stark, he goes, blanking on Tomlin and the Steelers boys. It's been working out great for us. We love Mike Tomlin. What are you talking about? We love him.
Matt did double down with the, like, oh, it's going to end soon. And I'm like, I'm stopped playing that game. We're like, this is, the Steelers have become the last season's Miami Heat for me. I'm like, I'm done saying it.
For sure. The Heat, remember how many times they're going to lose?
I lost so much money.
Oh, that was so great for me. Logic 3227. I watched Bookie last night. Loved it. Yes. Did you see the first two episodes
of
Bookie?
I have not yet. I was going to yesterday. Had to go do something.
They speak our language. It's so great to see on TV.
Yeah, I saw there's two episodes out there.
Yeah. Roger Jones. Rouge reference hits early at a big number. Cowboys can only beat the teams that are in front of them. Possibly took this game a little lightly with Philly on deck, but got the win. Mike Stacks, the survivor pick is in. Your shirt color, Gil, today was the deciding factor. Thank you. He's taking the Steelers. He's playing survivor based on my shirt color.
I wouldn't do that. He wears more black now that we're over at the D to hide the cord.
That's right. It's cord camouflage, ladies and gentlemen. A little look behind the curtain. New Jersey, New York. Regarding the college football deserving versus best four teams argument, specifically regarding FSU, I genuinely believe the committee has reached a point where they just do not want to deal with the arguments and yelling, which results in easy cop-out decisions. Easiest decision is 13-0 FSU. So what I said yesterday, I completely believe that. Completely believe it. Russell Johnson. Is that Kelly playing draw poker in the background during the Bears segment? And Ryan Thompson adds, always great when the Bears on the show, especially when those video poker machines at Bar Canada are hot. Oh, they were hot during that segment.
Yeah.
Somebody was winning.
It was a nice looking old lady. I thought I could just kind of go over and ask her nicely to turn the volume down, which she was very accepting to do.
Oh, she was.
But she was over there firing. Like, I think she had it set on like the $5 one, and it was maxed out all the way. She's over there firing at 8:30.
I would love if you two had got in a fight about it. Ron Mexico, there's insanity and there's following up an anti-FSU segment with a segment on why Jaden Daniels should win the Heisman, a team FSU beat by 30. Yeah. By the way, Felica chimed in. He goes, Vlad, you're on to me. I'm anti-FSU. Denver Lance, how can the national media give Michigan a pass for cheating while punishing FSU for an injury? Basically the same media who punished Barry Bonds, beyond words. And Brandon Webb, when can we start talking about draft props? All these quarterbacks, there has to be value everywhere. Well, you know, these quarterbacks thing goes with the draft.
I'm with you. Yeah. Onto the draft.
Onto the draft. Onto the draft.
I'm with you. Let's get to the draft.
Jason Weingarten joins us from under a cloud of smoke. You can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. What's happening, man?
Not much. It was a nice week. Slower week than usual. Got to watch the game last night. It was pretty exciting. A lot of points.
You have anything in that game last night?
I have the Dak MVP. So
what do you have? What do you have him at?
20, somewhere around there. Maybe a little higher. Some probably a little lower.
Do you believe they must win the division for him to win it?
I mean, they got to beat the Eagles this game coming up, the big, you know, division head to head second matchup.
Yeah.
I mean, it's picking up value, but he's just one of several contenders still. I mean, I know there's been people circling the wagons around Brock Purdy.
That's me. I'm in that group.
You know, there's an argument to be made there. I have both. So
okay.
Circle your wagon, circle away. Circle, you know.
I'll start the full propaganda machine next week on the show. I promise.
Please do. I'm happy with it. But what do you think, Daron Bland? Are we done? We're done with that after last night or what?
Well, he's got to take it back for six.
According to Kelly Bidlin, and you know, Jason, you know that Kelly is the gatekeeper for all these awards based on your Mechie debate with him. Kelly says one more pick six is needed. So a pick, he did have a pick last night after getting toasted in the first half.
Yeah, no, last night helped him.
Yeah, he got toasted a lot. I think there were six targets and five of them were like for 137 yards against him.
Did you see the comp that Eric Allen, you remember him, Gil?
Yes.
He was on the Eagles back in the day.
Sure. Green eyes.
You see the comp with him that his thing, he had like five touchdowns, 1 year for the Eagles and he got like fifth. So
he had four,
four.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And he got fifth.
But so historically, and obviously I'm saying this is just a one-off, but the voters did not care about the performance.
Yeah.
But all those voters are probably dead. So, you know,
it's an excellent point, Jason. It's one of your finest points that you've made a lot of fine ones on this show, but that is one of the great ones.
Think about it.
No, I am thinking about it. And you're probably right. It was 40 years. It was like 30 years ago. Okay. Cause that was 80s with Eric Allen. 80s or 90s? 90s, I think maybe. No, 80s. 90s. What did you play? Week 13 NFL and college football championship week. What do you have this week?
So it's not so much the week 13, but I got some stuff going tonight and this weekend.
Let's do it. What you got?
You know, we talked a little bit about it. Sorry, I got it pulled up on my screen over here.
Sorry. I hate when this segment sneaks up on you. Yeah, go ahead.
We talked a little bit about it my last time on, and the Lions have all kind of gone my way except UNLV. You know, I see 2.5 on Louisville kind of creeping towards -120, -125. Alabama got hit a little bit. So I like the dogs. The only games it's tonight that kind of weirds me out, Washington. Like, I can't wrap my head around Washington at 10. I see it got hit a little bit. See down to 9.5. And then New Mexico. Have any of your guests had an opinion on New Mexico?
No, Chris stayed away.
Nobody, Felica, Mexico
Felica,
State?
We brought it up with Felica, but he did not have a play on it.
He did say he'd lean that way.
He'd lean that way.
Yeah, I like New Mexico State here. I like the money line. I like the 11. I mean, Liberty is great, but New Mexico State, they beat Auburn on the road. Now they're getting 11 points against Liberty. I'm like, all right, fine, whatever. I'll take the 11. but Washington, what are your other esteemed guests who might know more than me think about the Washington Oregon game?
You know, it's funny that no one has more esteem than you, Jason. Let's point that out first. But because
I got nothing. I don't know where
I kept trying to lead it. I'll tell you, my questioning was like, isn't this too many points? And no one really bid on that.
Not only that,
yeah.
I feel like we haven't even really discussed the scenario of like, what if Washington wins this? Like, what if Michael Penix Jr. looks great? Yes. Washington wins this game by margin.
If forget margin, they'll be undefeated. It will be one less thing for the committee to have to worry about, right? Because it'll be auto. So would it shock you if Washington came out and won? It wouldn't me.
No, but
I kind of want to bet the dogs. I want to bet the money line dogs, maybe even round robin, Washington, New Mexico State, UNLV, Alabama, Louisville. Those are all teams I think that could win. Am I wrong?
Well, I mean, time will tell on those. Refresh me on the Alabama. Did you just take them with the points or did you sprinkle on them?
I took them with the points. I haven't played any money lines yet. If I play any money lines, Liberty is going to be the first one. Washington likely second. And the nice thing is it's Friday night, so you can play these big 3-1 dogs on the front end before you got to worry about what you want to play on Saturday. So you do kind of get a nice opportunity there if you like New Mexico State or Washington.
What a spectacular weekend this is. Spectacular.
Yeah, it really is. There's some nice games. It's sad we're getting to the end where we get the standalones, but they all tend to be pretty fun. So a lot of gambling going on this weekend.
Jason, we're going to have to let you go 60 seconds early because we want to throw out our picks one last time. We appreciate it as always, man.
Thank you. Have a good weekend. Big New Mexico State fan tonight, I think. I'm going to be one of the biggest, so go New Mexico State. What are they, the Aggies, maybe? Have a good weekend.
Jason Weingarten, everybody, at Spreadopedia on the Twitter machine. You know, those voters are all dead. That's what he said. All right, real quick, the four plays that I made in the National Football League Week 13, and I made these during guessing lines. The Niners minus 2.5, minus 123. The Texans minus 3. I had to actually buy that down even then during guessing lines to minus 135. Colts minus 2 in their game. I like the Colts here. And here's the one that I don't – so all those will be in my contest, too. Mm-hmm. I did bet the Chargers minus 6.
Me too.
But I don't know if that's in my contest because Keenan Allen
– he hasn't practiced.
Is very shaky, and he's a massive part of
that. He hasn't practiced. It's he's their whole offense. It's amazing. Yeah. I mean, you know he's the only receiver they have. They still throw it to him. He still racks up the catches. It's incredible. So, yes, I laid the 5.5. I'm on the over, Dolphins and Commanders, and then 49ers money line, I bet, right on the over. And the Jags to close out the Cowboys team.
Good luck to all of you for all of your bets this week in college or pro football and beyond. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.